It may be an oversimplification of the problem, that is, how to gain prana and how to stop the drain, or at least minimize the drain as much as possible. The source of prana is beyond the me, beyond the ego sense. Again, terribly oversimplifying it, the source of prana is beyond the ego sense. So, any state of consciousness which is beyond the ego sense must provide, must be a source of prana. Right? Sleep is beyond the ego sense, so it's a source of gaining prana. Meditation must be beyond the ego sense, so through that prana is gained. Now, as he suggested, selfless service. If there's such a thing is possible, that we'll discuss later. And any source, any activity that is ego-centered, based on the ego, motivated by the ego, is a drain on prana. So, one little example here, you asked for an example, right? One little example which is not where you can understand it perhaps very clearly is pure love draws prana, that is, supplies prana, is a source of prana. And lust or sexual activity is a drain on prana. Pure love, possibly you don't find it at all between man and woman as such, but perhaps you can find it between the mother and an infant. There the mother gains prana. Every time she nurses the baby, every time she attends to the baby's needs or whatever it is, it's only afterwards when the ego wakes up and says, "My God, I have lost all my sleep." That's the ego's activity. That's not the mother's activity. So that if the baby is really and seriously sick, the mother would go without sleep for days and not miss anything. That is, there is some activity going on in the consciousness which is beyond the self, beyond the ego. So, this is an oversimplification of the whole thing. Any ego-motivated action is a drain. And therefore, all emotions are drain. The emotions being the reaction of the ego all the time. By definition, that's the externalized motion of energy is emotion. Emotion. And any haphazard or disorderly movement of energy is also ego-based and therefore drain on energy.
Could you give an example of that?
Anger, violence, greed, grabbing, violence, aggression.
Yes.
What
about disorder in the way you work?
Yes, also. Also, the one example again is this is famous. I am compelled to do what I don't want to do, and I am deprived of the opportunity to do what I want to do. This is what causes depression. Almost always, when you find a person depressed, the cause is here. That person is forced to do what he or she does not want to do, and she wants to do something which she is denied. There is depression. Why is it so? There is no prana. It is gone. In two different directions. And that, incidentally, it all ties up, and so we discuss it, we sort of mention it here. What is called brahmacharya? Brahmacharya is also translated celibacy, or continence, or whatever it is. It's not so restricted. It is a unified movement of energy, a unidirectional movement of energy. A unidirectional movement of energy is not lost, is not movement at all. Unidirectional movement of energy is really not, energy has to move, yes? Energy is motion. Is that right? Energy is motion. So, movement of energy in itself is not a loss. It is disorderly movement of energy that is loss. So, your unidirectional movement of energy is no loss at all, it's moving, it's energy. Even there, in the course of that movement, it may lose some momentum or voltage. That's alright, we'll get a booster the next birth. Huh? So, that is what brahmacharya means. Brahmacharya does not mean mere forced celibacy or continence, but it is the whole being moves in a single direction. That is on that level. And then, of course, the some minor considerations are also there, that certain activities are a greater drain than others, and certain articles of food need more expenditure of energy to digest and assimilate than others, and these are also to be these are also usually prohibited. Right. One vague indication could be given of how do I know what activities drain the energy more than others. If you watch your breathing, the activity in which there is greater loss of energy produces agitated breathing, labored and agitated breathing. And that activity which puts you in touch with the source of prana is accompanied by a rhythmic, graceful and almost imperceptible movement of prana, breath. There is no labored breathing at all. The breathing is almost subtle and gentle, beautiful, smooth. I have often felt that the inhalation, exhalation has no other significance. It's not to make me ventilate my lungs or oxygenate the blood that I am made to breathe. the room breathes without all that labor. You won't find the walls going up and down. And yet there is plenty of
breathing. The room isn't breathing.
Yeah, movement away. That's what you were talking about.
There's no room.
Cross ventilation. So if there is hot air, it goes away, and fresh air comes in. There is cross ventilation. So that all this good old God had to do was to put some cross ventilation for the lungs, and then the air is kept circulating. Why all this? If you were God, you could have managed it much better, couldn't you? So I feel that this bother of breathing in and breathing out was not meant merely to help you ventilate the lungs and oxygenate the blood. It is different. It has other meanings. And perhaps the breathing process was meant to indicate the state of your emotional being, the state of your mind, the state of your consciousness, and the state of the function of your prana. Whether you are gaining prana or losing prana. If you watch your breathing, you will know. If your breathing is gentle, quiet and even, you are not losing very much. And if you are labored, if your breathing is labored, you are beginning to lose. And it's gone. And also the body begins to shake and the skin gets hot. That means it's getting out.
Losing prana.
Mm-hmm. Well, suppose a person in an act of true selfless service is, lifting a heavy object that's pinning a man down to the ground, and he's doing it quite selflessly. Wouldn't his breathing then still be agitated?
Possibly, but it's coming from somewhere else.
What, the breathing?
No, the prana is coming from somewhere else.
I see. Mm-hmm.
There is, it's like a huge big pipeline mm-hmm. pouring water out. Mm-hmm. It's not getting exhausted because it comes from somewhere else.
Why is it that when you're sometimes doing asanas, or particularly strenuous asanas, and you do heavy breathing between or while you're doing it, or deep breathing, then after your period of rest, you feel very refreshed and full of energy.
Yeah. That is. First, shall we say that you are not supposed to do that in your asana practice? Mm-hmm. It should not happen. We'll come to that. Possibly, you may have to act as a model and demonstrate some as a couple of days later. You are not supposed to do that at all. If during your asana practice your breathing gets into a state of disorder,
well, it's not disorder. It's right. Deep.
Understand? No, it's that's the whole problem of euphemism.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Right.
I'm looking for a euphemism.
Yes. Right. Deep.
Not disorderly. Just deep.
Yeah.
The waters run deep.
So if you forget that, then if there is strain and you are more conscious of the body, the joints and then so on, you are not conscious of that within, that intelligence within, which is able to do all that. To go back to her example, if you are straining to lift a stone, unless you have that motivation of saving this poor man and you sort of spontaneously jump into it, you are terribly conscious of the superficial parts of your body, your muscles, your shoulders, and your arms. So that at that point it is not possible for you to be aware of what goes on deep within you. Mm-hmm.
So you're losing it.
Shall we try one thing? Shall we try one thing here? Now, just now. Okay. Just for a few minutes. Merely observe one fine little detail. Doesn't matter what your breathing is, doesn't matter if you're awake, alert, tired, nothing matters. You are asking yourself one simple question. I am watching the inhalation and the exhalation. At what point does the inhalation stop and turn into exhalation, and at what precise moment does exhalation turn into inhalation? Please keep your eyes open. Look at a point, but don't close your eyes. That's all. In a beautiful way. Mm. Right? You are breathing deeply without even your being aware of it.
Mm. You're not aware of...
You're not aware of your breathing at all because you are looking for that moment when there's a change, when there's a change. Mm-hmm. You are not tense. You are not agitated. If you are tense, if you are agitated, you are not aware of what goes on. And as long as the ego is active, there is tension. Mm-hmm. And there is lack of awareness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Because the ego is faced outward. So I am more aware of the body, I am more aware of the surroundings, I am less aware of the mind, and what is behind the mind. And therefore the source of prana. There is flow of prana from the source, but because it passes through this filter called the ego, it gets distorted. And therefore there is agitated movement of prana. You may call it deep breathing, but it is not deep. It's tense. That is tense breathing. It is not deep breathing. Deep breathing is when you are not even conscious that you are breathing.
Yes, I see what you mean, but there are certain postures that are just by their very nature. I mean, how can you do like a locust or something and not hold it for a substantial time and come down and
we'll do
not
it.
Have disrupted breathing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why most yoga teachers ask you not to hold your breath while, not to pay any too much attention to the breathing while doing all those postures. Mm. Breathe in and out calmly, normally.
Why did you ask us to have our eyes open? And do you do Hatha Yoga with your eyes open or eyes closed?
Hatha Yoga is done with eyes open. Why am I supposed to close my eyes? What for? Why did I ask you to keep your eyes open? It's a secret.
No secrets.
No secrets. Right. I hope, I guess some of you will become yoga teachers. If you sit in front of a class, ask them to keep their eyes open and ask them to watch their own breathing or repeat a mantra. You can immediately point out to that person who is nervous and tense. When you do that, when you are watching your breath and the change of flow, your eyes were not blinking. You didn't know that. The moment, if I tell you now, then the next time you do, you are worried. When you are completely relaxed and the mind is totally concentrated, the eyes don't blink. Heaven knows why. Because your vision is not focused on what the vision rests outside. You are not looking at this. Yeah. You are looking at the breathing. Your eyes are just open. Yes. They are open even inside the eyelids. Mm. Some people don't like this. This is my argument for them. They say, when you open your eyes and the eyes are looking at this, you must think of that. Why must I think of that?
Yeah.
Huh? For instance, when you say, when I keep my eyes closed, what do I mean my eyes are closed? My eyes are not closed. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
My eyes are open. They are looking at the
inside
of the eyelids. So am I supposed to be looking at the eyelids now?
That's true. So, you... I don't even want to ask a question now.
So, my eyes are open, but what I really want to see is the way the breathing goes on. I'm not interested in looking at the carpet, but there's no other way. I have to look within to see how the breathing goes on. When I do that, naturally, the vision is not focused on the carpet, the vision is focused in within. And therefore, there is no strain, there is no blinking.
Is that a better way to initially start meditating?
Yes, sir.
With your eyes open?
Yes, sir.
Focusing,
yes,
on something?
As long as what is in front of the eyes is not terribly distracting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If it's a blank wall.
A spot or something. Sun, moon.
Yeah, but then shouldn't be too much, just sort of diversity there. Something homogeneous, something harmonizing.
My eyes hurt.
Then you are staring. You don't know. If the eyes hurt, it means you are staring.
Burning.
Yeah, yeah. If the eyes hurt or... No, it can happen if you are tired, if you are, you know, fatigued, and if you want rest, that's a different thing. But normally it shouldn't.
There's a lot of dust in the room.
Right? Yeah, right.
Air is
or bad. Glare.
Right.
Yes, that sort of thing.
Smog.
Nothing could be bad. Nothing could be, no. He comes from LA.
Blinking all the time.